Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston. Tonight, I'm joined by the dark green water. It's my great-grandpa. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. I don't know what that means, though.
You ever heard that song?
No. What? Who sings it?
Great Grandpa.
Okay. Is that a...
I think it's my favorite song this year.
So Great Grandpa sings this song.
Yeah. It's my favorite song this year.
Is that... Did you make up this band?
No.
So are they a band or are they a person?
They're a band.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we're doing right now because guess what? I don't like football, Matt.
You don't like football?
Football's the worst. Okay.
I think the funnest player is Jameis Winston.
The funnest player?
Yeah.
The funnest.
So you want the Jameis Winston Triple Crown watch?
You know what? Just give it to me.
You ready? So the Triple Crown for a quarterback is touchdowns, interception, sack. He's a lead legal in all three. Winston has thrown 26 touchdowns. He's tied for second with Russell Wilson, and he's two behind Lamar Jackson as of like halftime tonight. Interceptions, he's thrown 23. He threw three last week, two to Darius Leonard, one was a pick six. He threw another one that was dropped. His first throw of the game was an interception at Darius Leonard. He's 7-up on Baker Mayfield with 23. And so I feel like entering the season, when we did the preview, I was like, yeah, like Winston throws 12 interceptions. That would be a great year from him. Because like 12 would still be like 7th most.
Matt, I just want to jump to this real quick before you go on. Who would you rather have this year, though, Baker or Jameis?
Jameis.
You would rather have Jameis? I would rather have Jameis. That's scary, by the way. That's really bothering.
I mean,
I don't like to say that. I don't like to say I want Jameis at all.
I think the biggest difference between the two is that Jameis pushes the ball downfield, and then Jameis actually has some pocket awareness. He doesn't like, oh, there's pressure. I'm rolling out to the run. Yeah. I'm so afraid of everything.
Yes, but it's also I'm just going to throw it.
Yeah, and some
he has gotten better.
He's gotten better as the year's gone on. Like, okay.
Man, is he leading the league in interceptions?
Yeah, yeah. But
okay.
I'm saying, like,
he's gotten
some of these, though, were like the defensive lineman picks him off.
What? There's no some of these if you're leading the league every year.
He's gotten better at it. And so sacks taken, he's taken 41 sacks. You know who's ahead of him?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a lot of questions like this.
No. That's fine. I'm good at yes or no's.
So he's third. He's behind two other guys.
I'm going to say Kyler Murray is one.
There we go.
And then
he has 46.
Is two like Carson Wentz?
No, it's Kyle Allen with 44.
Really? Okay, I actually wouldn't have guessed that one.
Yeah, Allen's like he threw 11 completions to Christian McCaffrey last week, and he can't throw the ball downfield at all. And teams are just like, just making sure they're just like tackling all the short stuff.
You know it sucks though. It just shows you there's nothing wrong with him. He's a great backup.
Yeah,
he's a fine.
He's also
backup.
24.
Yeah,
he's played like.
Well, but as you can see, teams figure it out
in some ways.
Once they figured him out, is the moment that he's screwed.
Well, also they lost that game in the snow, Green Bay. And their season has been kind of over. But he just doesn't throw ball downfield well at all. And unless he learns how to do that and learns how to stop taking so many sacks and fumbling, you know, he's a backup. But he's like Case Keenum, except he doesn't throw ball downfield.
You know what I bet it is? I think it's because teams are probably videotaping their sidelines.
You think
whoa!
So? But Jameis, the last three games of the season for him, Detroit, Houston, Atlanta. I don't think he's going to get sacked the most, but he can definitely throw the most touchdowns. And he's already has like the interception thing locked up. Nobody's throwing 7 more interceptions.
So I would... You should look up a Vegas bet because I want to know what the odds would be for this.
To pick all three?
For him to score 150 points in three games.
Oh, Tampa?
Yes.
That's too many points.
I think they could do it. Atlanta?
Yeah,
Houston.
And Detroit.
Oh, dude.
He ends with Atlanta.
I mean,
though.
That is...
I just want him to break. If he does the touchdown thing, I'll be like, yeah, he leads the league in passing yards too. We'll figure it out.
But that's what I'm saying. Look how ridiculous that sounds. I bet you a $10 bet would pay out like crazy.
Or just even if he leads the league in touchdowns and interceptions and passing yards, it probably would too.
You should look that up.
We need to do something. We just need
here.
To move there, dude.
Yeah.
We need to call Governor Greg Abbott and be like, hey, bro, just make it legal. Let's make some money, man.
We're not allowed to make anything here legal in Texas, and it's because, you know why? We don't need to. That's the problem with this. We're too damn good.
Yeah, we don't need that,
we're too
that money.
Badass.
Yeah, we don't need that illegal money.
God, yeah. I hate that. I wish we needed it.
So, fantasy football. Do you like it? Let's hear your sad sob story.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
You want to hear mine?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Let's go yours.
So I started Josh Allen. He had -0.1 points through the first half. He ended up with 10. And I thought he was going to have a bad game, but I was like, I'm going to go with the horse that brought me here. The worst part, though, is I started Mike Evans. He catches one pass for 61 yards, 13-point play, and then he tears his hamstring and, like, gimps into the end zone, throws the ball away in frustration and anger. I'm like, okay, well, that's it. I lost. And then Austin Eckler had 40 points, and Aaron Jones had 40 points, and I lost 170 to, like, 140. So.
Yeah. So
I want to go to the Bahamas so bad, man.
Well, let's talk about a real man story. So this is why I don't like to gamble. And I've said this before. This is why I always lose. No matter what, I always lose.
You want to know how I got these scars?
Oh, my. It hurts. So I started Tannehill instead of Jameis. 3-point difference. Not a big deal, right? I was not confident in Brown because he was going up against Baltimore. And I was like, man, they're really good against pass. Something could not well happen. Maybe I should pick up a Law Pal because Le'Veon just became out. No, I'm going to trust the guys that brought me here. Put in Saquon. I'm down 11 points going into Saquon Monday night. 11 points is all I'm down by. And
he had 7.
He had 9.7. And I lost by 1.3. And he needed that 1.3 at the 2-minute mark in the third quarter.
Yeah.
So he had the entire fourth quarter plus overtime.
Yeah.
To be able to get 1.3 points. You know what he did not get?
1.3 points.
He didn't get 1.3 points. You know what I don't like? Fantasy effing football, dude.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed off. I don't even know why you brought it up. Now I'm going to storm off. I'm going to storm off out of here. I'm so done.
That's good.
Dude, I'm so hurt. It hurts so bad because I deserve that. And the guy I'm going up against is a douchebag. And then he got his, like, window smashed the next day. Literally, somebody broke in his car. And then the buddy came up to me. He's like, Taylor, doesn't it make you feel better? I go, no, that's not making me feel
better.
Yeah,
this is fantasy world implications. Because
I did that.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
You're a bad boy.
That's what I do.
Hopefully this year that I win this stupid Ballard blog jacket.
No,
and
I
this
all
we'll be wearing for, like, 2 years or the rest of this year.
You're wearing a Buffalo Bills shirt. I hope you lose.
That's fine. Hey, Sunday Night Football. When was the last time Buffalo was on Sunday Night Football?
I have no idea. I could never tell you that.
I mean, even they made the playoffs 2 years ago, they were on Sunday Night Football.
Because they've been on Monday night. Like, ESPN has always had, like, some bad games, but I don't ever remember Sunday night.
No idea. Yeah, this is big. This is big stuff. Sorry, power hour real fast. You ready for some quick questions?
I love quick questions.
So, who do you think has a better year next year? David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell?
Okay, wait, what's David Johnson left on the contract?
Well, he has like 3 years left. Yes, they're both guys who have big contracts, who had bad years this year, and who could potentially be traded or, released, or they eat like... The thing is that I think either one they get released, they pay like $7 million dead money, but they save $4 million or whatever.
Le'Veon.
You think Le'Veon's better?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with Le'Veon only because I don't know with David Johnson. I can't tell with him, but he hasn't looked good. But he hasn't looked good.
He caught that touchdown last week.
That's not true because other running backs have looked good. Even though they've had their moments, they've still looked good. David Johnson hasn't had any moments.
Yeah.
Because what? Edmonds has had moments. Ajayi's had a moment.
Ajayi doesn't play there.
No. Who's the other one?
He got it.
Wait. Oh.
He's from Miami.
No. I got it. Kenyon Drake.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got it.
There you go. So, come on. You have guys there that are able to perform, but yet he's not? Isn't that a little bit funky?
I thought he was going to catch like 120 passes this year. And Kyler Murray hates him, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that's actually like, not they a relationship.
They ran like a zone replay where he was supposed to block the safety, and then he missed the block, and Murray like has his helmet off screaming at him. I'm like, chill, bro. Come on now.
I don't know, man.
Murray just hates getting tackled, though. He hates everybody that
leaves him getting tackled. He's not allowed to be tackled.
He takes the cutest sacks. It's like rocking a baby to sleep.
It's adorable.
So who's had a better rookie season? Devin Bush Jr. from Pittsburgh or Devin White of Tampa Bay?
Bush, easily.
I think White's had a better year.
I think you're out of your mind.
I've seen White do more things.
But here's the thing. It was because it was the one missing piece from Pittsburgh. It's the only reason why they've been winning games is because of that defense.
Yeah.
Matt, what else has really changed with the defense?
Well, Fitzpatrick and Steven Nelson.
I don't think but it's as big a deal as Bush, though.
Fitzpatrick's a bigger deal than Bush.
No.
Yeah. No,
it's because they were missing the linebacker position.
But he was there for 5 weeks, and they get at Fitzpatrick, and their defense has been substantially better. Also, Bud Dupree's having a breakout season, too. They're healthy. Steven Nelson's been a very good corner for him.
Oh, and by the way, so can I hear the defense then for Tampa? What are we talking about?
I think he
at
covers,
least my guy. I'm saying they have a missing piece in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
he covers a certain position. They are winning games without a starting quarterback, and you're trying to say that Tampa is better on the defense side.
No, I'm not saying their defense is
you're
better.
You're saying
I'm
their player's
saying,
better.
Yeah, I'm saying Wyatt has had a better year. I think he's done more stuff. He rushes the passer well on blitzes. He forces fumbles. He can chase from the middle of the field to the sideline. He does more with less talent. He's having to clean up more stuff because their secondary is so bad too. I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting thing to see how these two careers play out because they're going to be tied together forever, you know?
I don't think they're going to be tied together forever. I don't think that's how that works.
Forever.
I think everyone's going to forget about it in about 2 years.
Nah, I'm never going to forget.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to forget?
Nope. Steel trap up here. Ask me what I ate for lunch today.
What'd you eat for lunch?
Nothing.
That's not healthy.
Doesn't matter.
No.
So which wide receiver number one who broke out this year do you like the most? DJ Chark Jr., Cortland Sutton, Devontae Parker, or Christian Kirk?
I don't really like any of them.
You don't like any of them?
I don't
these
really
are
like...
These are legitimate number one wide receivers who popped up out of nowhere.
Okay. Sutton?
You like Sutton the most?
Yeah, but even that I'm like so about. Devontae has always been there. Devontae's just now the guy, so now he's just...
He's always been the guy, just hasn't been good.
Yeah, which is why I'm so-so. And then Christian Kirk, fine. Really good. I just don't think defenses are really paying attention yet. Sutton, I'd probably feel like is the most impressive, because that's all really Denver has at this point.
Yeah, he's funny, because they're 30th in pass offense DVOA, like negative 27%, whatever it is, and Sutton has a receiving DVOA 10%, which is like 7th. So it's like if the ball goes anywhere else, it's a bad play.
It's awful.
But if it goes to Sutton, it's like it's one of like the 9th best plays you can have out there.
So who'd you choose?
I love DJ Chark.
No, I'm not going that Chark. Because that's also the reason why Didi should have been the guy.
Chark is better.
But Didi would have been the guy more if Foles would have been the starter.
Didi's a slot receiver, though.
I know, but he still would have gotten more action if Minshew didn't automatically develop a love relationship with Chark. Because
Chark is better.
I don't know that.
He's a downfield sideline guy who can go up and get it.
I don't know.
And also, he's good, too, on crossing routes.
He is good.
Too.
I mean, I'm not hating him
at
all.
Yeah, I love Chark.
I don't know if I love him, though.
I love him.
I don't know if I love him. You like the weird... So your dream team is Chark,
Josh Allen. A healthy David Johnson in the backfield.
Oh my God.
Devin Singletary in the backfield too.
Okay.
Devin Singletary. We'll have to do a whole podcast of just like our favorite team.
Your dream team.
Yeah.
But don't overdo it. Do your dream team.
Jadeveon Clowney and JJ Watt on the same defensive line.
Nah, that'll never happen.
Yeah, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah, they've never played together.
Never. Yeah, they played I think like 10 games together.
Yeah.
But yeah. Cool. So last week I went 3-1. You went 2-2.
It's a lie.
You had two losses because you picked Houston by 17.
Because I'm a man.
They lost by 21. They went down 38-3.
You know that's like been the only time I've been wrong. We've been wrong. No, about Houston. We've been wrong on two different situations where I have picked them to beat Kansas City, and for them to beat New England, you have picked against them. Where I have been wrong and you have been right is the game after. Because I always feel like they're going to be able to turn a corner here and win. And you're always, no, it's over. we're done. Yeah, game's over. It's fine.
Yeah.
And it was really depressing how right you were.
Yeah.
Really, really.
Well, like 9.5 points was absurd. It was absurd.
That game was absurd.
Yeah. I mean.
That was like, you know what? We won the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, we're supposed to keep playing?
Well, it was funny because we were watching the game. I was like, I don't care. They beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
So they beat the Patriots, you know?
That's exactly
so
what
I mean, I don't care about the rest of the year. The only things I care about are Jameis Winston Triple Crown.
No, you care about Week 17.
Week 17,
this
AFC
is
South
be your
Championship
dream.
Game. We'll get in that in a second. And then also Josh Allen not playing the Texans in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I need that to happen just so
die.
I know who you would pick. I want to know who you'd pick.
It doesn't matter because I don't care.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? You don't care.
And then you pick San Francisco. You picked New Orleans instead of San Francisco. I told you it was important that Jimmy Garoppolo beat the Cardinals like
that. Oh, my God.
Because here comes Marsh in the Dome. Mm-hmm. They put 48 up. They win 48-26. Leads them, not George Kittle at all. That was all Garoppolo on that game-winning drive. Yep. I told you, it was important. It wasn't. It was important.
Did you say that was all Garoppolo on the game-winning drive?
Yeah, all Garoppolo.
What the hell? Didn't he throw a little outlet pass and Kittle just was a man and just manned up all the way downfield, three guys on his back?
Because he threw such a good pass.
What are you talking about?
He threw such a good pass to
him. I'm so done with this. Okay, this is what the Saints have always done. They just play to their opponent. And they just play whatever the hell they want to for that day. They make no sense where they've done this with Fitzpatrick even. Is Fitzpatrick a great guy? No. Jimmy G caught Saints on the off day. And guess what? He made them pay and Drew Brees had to turn back the clock. Because that's what happens with the New Orleans Saints. Jimmy G just had a great game. But it's not going to be.
It was important.
But it's
the Cardinals games are important.
It's not consistent. No, the Cardinals game, see, you're going back to this. You're going back to that point.
It's important that he showed that he could do it, and then he did it in a big game. And I feel better about San Francisco being something more than like a cute story that loses in the divisional round.
They are going to be a cute story that loses in the divisional round
we'll see
because of Jimmy G.
We'll see who they play.
You want to make a bet on it? I don't even care who they play, and I say they lose.
It's important.
I don't care who they play. That's how confident I am. You want to make the bet?
I'm
make
saying,
the bet. I'm going in blind.
That's fine. You were right about the Chiefs being the Patriots. I was wrong. I picked the Patriots by 3, and then you picked Kansas City by 6 or something like that.
I told you.
Yeah.
It's only because New England's not good. That's why they're having to copy the Bengals.
I mean, they blitzed them a ton. There was nobody open, and Brady was clomping on the pocket. They had that weird, like, that should have been touchdown, wasn't. They couldn't convert on fourth down. They scored two touchdowns. One was that deep throw to Edelman. The other was after a block punt. You know, they require their defense to put them in really easy situations to score. And they're a lot like Pittsburgh in that way, too.
Let me ask you that, then, because you bring up a good point for me. Matt, what's the better defense, Pittsburgh or New England?
New England, Pittsburgh.
And with New England stats and everything. I'm saying just because they're putting up like record stats and everything. So you would think that it would be that team, but it's not easy.
I think New England has the better pass defense, but Pittsburgh is the better overall defense. Because like New England's like run defense is okay. It's not, you know, dominant.
I don't even think it's
Whereas they have like a really great pass defense.
It's a good question. I feel Pittsburgh more than New England, even though everyone's...
They force more turnovers so far.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what we went back to, and that was your point, which I will give you credit for, about Chicago. I think that's what it kind of shows you, where if you're the team that gets the turnovers, then all of a sudden you're able to catch fire regardless of what your quarterback is doing.
And it lasts for a year as well, too.
And you're exactly right, where it's not something that's really consistent, so while it's hot, keep it going. And it explains why Pittsburgh's winning.
Yeah. No, and we'll get to that here in a second. So I'm 27-23. You are?
I'm 28-22.
27-23. Oh, it's God. Mucho caliente.
I don't speak Spanish.
It means the dog is brown. So this week we're going to talk about Houston at Tennessee. The Titans are 3-point favorites at home. Miami at the New York Giants. The Giants are 3.5-point favorites at home. Los Angeles at Dallas. The Rams are 1.5-point favorites on the road. And then Buffalo at Pittsburgh. Sunday Night Football. The Steelers are 2-point favorites. So Houston versus Tennessee. With Ryan Tannehill, the Titans are averaging 31.7 points a game. They're 7-1. That one loss came against Carolina. You know how many first half carries Derrick Henry had that game?
Two.
What the Panthers are really bad at?
Running.
Stopping the run.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they started giving Derrick Henry the ball and they almost came back and won, but they lost.
Oh, that was the first half game that you and I talked about where we didn't
know
what the
mad.
Game plan was.
What were they doing?
What were you doing?
Yeah, and then Mariota, 10.6 points a game, 2-4. The biggest difference, though, is there's that whole idea that's been argued about relentlessly in the Texans universe, which is you don't establish the run. You don't run to throw, you throw to run. So with Ryan Tannehill, their cumulative rush offense DVOA is 73.5%. Derrick Henry has 9 rushing touchdowns. He's averaging 6.04 yards a carry with Ryan Tannehill. With Marcus Mariota quarterback, he averaged 3.68 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. Their cumulative run offense DVOA, negative 109.8%. Again, you throw the ball to run the ball. You don't run to throw. Now, I know it's been the biggest difference between the two quarterbacks. It's like Tannehill pushes the ball downfield. And even like some of these throws, too, it's like that guy's in double coverage. He's throwing the ball out of bounds. He's just taking a shot. He's just stressing the defense some. Just saying, like, hey, you got to watch out. I'll do this. We're out here. We're doing this. And I've never seen, like, this dramatic of a difference between two quarterbacks before than Ryan Tannehill being, like, 2017 Matt Ryan and Marcus Mariota being just, like, I don't know, Kyle Allen this year.
Or Mark Sanchez.
Or Mark Sanchez or...
So, let me just throw this out there.
Joe Flacco or...
It's almost like Taylor came into this season saying this was going to happen. It's almost like I predicted this from the very beginning, that I said that Tannehill would replace Mariota and it would make Tennessee a better team. I'm just such a genius sometimes. I blow myself away. But here's the thing about it. Ryan the Cannon Tannehill showed you last game why he is a man. You know what Marcus Mariota would have never done? Is after Tannehill threw that interception and that lineman picked him off, do you see what he did? Do you see what that man did?
He got in his guts.
Dude, he chased him and he speared him. That was the greatest thing I've ever seen a quarterback do all year.
This is the best quarterback tackle I've ever seen.
That was so
That guy's amazing. Full speed, 295 pounds.
If you are listening to this show and you have not looked up that clip, just look at the clip. He hits him so hard where you think Tannehill injured the lineman, and Tannehill gets up and he's just like, yeah, bitch. You're just what?
Whoa, watch out the language here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on now.
But
this is a minivan podcast.
My point is, Tannehill is on a roll, man. Even after that pick, it didn't stress him out. He still has Derrick Henry to rely on the running game, just like you said, to establish. And then he's going to take the shots. And he has the weapons. You never knew his weapons because Mariota didn't know how to use anything.
Yeah, he's just afraid to throw a ball downfield. He's really flummoxed. Like, Mariota's the most inconsistent quarterback I've ever seen, though, where there's, like, one unbelievable throw out of, like, three bad throws. You're like, wait a second. What is that? Like, I always call him, like, the gold nugget in the dog turd, you know? It's like, wait, there's a sparkle in there. But
gold
the rest,
nugget in the dog
yeah,
turd?
But the rest is just, like, you know, awful and horrendous. And
is there gold nuggets in dog turds?
Well, in this metaphor, yeah. So also, Ryan Tannehill, 73.4% completion percentage. Mariota, 59.1%. 10.2 adjusted yards attempt for Tannehill. Mariota, 7.7 adjusted yards attempt. The last quarterback to be above 70% completion and above 10 yards an attempt adjusted is Matt Ryan in his MVP season. Tannehill is also averaging 9.1 intended air yards. Mariota's at 7 intended air yards. So there's a big difference between the two pushing the ball downfield. But also, Tannehill's been a great short thrower, too. Tannehill is completing almost 80% of his short passes. These are throws less than 15 yards through the air. He's thrown 11 touchdowns to 4 interceptions and is averaging 8.7 yards an attempt. And, like, everybody's just I guess the thing is that all the highlights you see at Tannehill are those downfield passes. That one A.J. Brown for 91 yards, hit it in the face from his own end zone, was one of the best throws I've seen this year. That's all everybody thinks of.
He just has a cannon.
But he's been great also in the short passing game, too. And, like, last week he was finding guys like Khalif Raymond, undrafted free agent Blasting Game, who loves to play the saxophone. Undrafted free agent from Vanderbilt.
How would you know that? How would you know that about the saxophone? What is this, fun fact?
Yeah, it's fun fact. He loves the saxophone. He also wants to be the CEO of a hospital one day, too. And so Tannehill is just finding... It's not just like Corey Davis and A.J. Brown.
Matt has a crush.
Blasting Game is kind of cool.
yeah, kind of cool.
Well, he's number 41. He kind of reminds me of David Johnson.
Did you get lost in his eyes?
He calls some passes. Nah. Nah, chill, dude. But it's more than just the deep passing. The deep passing is what opens up everything for the run game. He's also been a very good short passer as well, too. And like this week, there's been a lot of takes like, don't Ryan Tannehill's going to regress. The Titans should resign him. He's going to fall back to earth next year. He's like completing all of his catchable passes, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. Like, this has been really spectacular. And I think probably the best bet would be for them to franchise tag him in the future. But that being said, the point here is that the Texans have a terrible pass defense. They're 27th in pass defense DVOA, but most importantly, they're awful against the short pass game. They're 31st in DVOA against short passes. Drew Lock did a great job using play action to completely obliterate them. They held guys. They missed tackles. They couldn't break passes down. They couldn't rush the passer. It was unbelievable how bad they were on pass defense. It was one of those games, too, like we talked about. Like, yeah, and also on the review shows, their pass defense is bad. It's going to catch up to them. And now here we are, it has. And all those, like, disastrous thoughts and feelings I had back in August, like, here they are, like, full focus. And this is an unbelievably awful matchup for the Texans' pass defense that they have this week against Tennessee.
So what it sounds like is that you're really confident in this week's game. All I know is Ryan the Cannon Tannehill does not ever quit. And the Houston Texans quit last week. So that's no, all I want to say.
They scored 21 nonsense points.
Oh, yeah. What'd you do in the second half? Is that when y'all scored points?
Yeah, they scored 21.
Oh, that's good. Because in the first half, there was a game being played.
Yeah, they were just
someone
bad in
didn't
the first
show
half.
Up.
They didn't give up.
No.
They didn't
y'all
give
didn't,
up.
Y'all
they didn't
show up.
Those are two different
there we
statements.
Go. Okay.
Your Let Honor, me, those are two different
on.
Statements.
Hold on. Let me put it to you this way. They gave up by not showing up. There we go. Your Honor,
that's like,
we have a rebuttal.
No, you just slipped on a banana peel and grabbed the shower curtain on the way down.
But guess
somehow
what? I'm
up.
Still protected.
You stayed up somehow.
All right. So either way, what was I watching? What was the game plan going into it? And then in the second half, finally we're going to want to play. We're able to catch up. And I will say this to you. I didn't like the Deshaun Watson touchdown where he made the spectacular run and then he reached for it. You're down by 20, 30 points.
Why are you even in the game to begin with?
What are we even doing?
When you're down
38
to 3, put AJ McCarron.
That's what I told you 2 weeks ago. I'm tired of seeing that by him.
I watched you didn't tell me anything. I watched Arian
I'm
Foster
tell you.
Blow out his Achilles against Miami.
Yeah, good
I watched
point.
Cecil Shorts almost die against Atlanta in 2015.
Well,
like, O'Brien.
Cecil Shorts one.
Well, he caught, he like tried to catch a slant around the end zone. They were down by 27 points. And he tore his ACL and was like hit in the jaw and hurt really bad. I never played again.
Oh, God.
And so it's like, yeah, Bill O'Brien loves to do this when they're down by a lot. He loves to score a bunch of meaningless points. So it's like, oh, yeah, our point differential is only this. We played well. We only lost by this much. He loves to do that. He loves like these garbage time points.
I don't know. Either way, you were right about it all along here, but that also kind of has me worried against Tennessee, where I feel like even though you're discrediting them because defense hasn't showed up, especially against the passing game, you're saying short and long, and you think Tannehill may kind of tear
them
up.
Well, they're pretty good against the – Houston's pretty good against the deep passing game. I'm saying that Tannehill's great throwing the ball downfield and throwing the ball short. Like, there's not really a weakness in this game, except he takes a lot of sacks.
Well, he takes
and
chances.
He takes some bad hits. Like, Tannehill gets crushed. But Houston,
well, he crushes linemen too.
They pass protect okay. Their one hole in their offensive line is their right guard, Nate Davis, their rookie. Everybody else pass protects pretty well. But the one way Houston matches up well is their sixth in deep passing DVOA. They have good safety play. Like Justin Reed's good, Deshaun Gibson's good, and they're also seventh in play. They're also eighth in points allowed per play action pass at 7.2 yards. The Titans are first in play-action passing game at 10.1 yards a play, and that's even including the Marcus Mariota numbers from weeks 1 through 6. So Tannehill may be averaging like 13, 14 yards per play on play-action passing. So Houston's been good at it, but they're 31st in non-play-action plays too at the same time. So I don't know. It's weird. And also Denver was great against the play-action against Houston too. So I think there's a lot of like noise and not a lot of signal in those play-action defense numbers for Houston. The problem here is like the Texans have to score points. They have to throw the ball downfield. They haven't done that unless Will Fuller is playing. Will Fuller may not play, but in the games without Will Fuller on the field, week 7 through 11, I'm not including the Indy game where he played one snap and then didn't play the rest of the game. They've only attempted 16 deep passes over the course of 7, 8, 9, over 5 games. 16 deep passes over the course of 5 games with Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. They completed 7 of those passes, 212 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. DeAndre Hopkins only had 9 of those passes gone his way.
He almost killed him last game, too.
Almost killed him, too.
He almost killed him.
And like they just don't push the ball downfield. And like they're going to give up a lot of points against Tennessee. Like, this is going to be awful. It's going to be horrendous. And they can't have some dumb game plan. They can't come out and establish the run. They can't run play-action passes to Darren Fells for 4 yards. And it doesn't matter if Fuller's healthy or not. They have to do this. And Fuller may play. He may not. They sound last week in preparation for this game, it sounds like. But that's really kind of the key, though. And even if Fuller plays, I think it's still going to go poorly for him. And mainly because Tennessee's defense is kind of weird, where they cover well, but they don't rush the passer well. but they blitz a lot on third down. And the biggest problem Texans have had on defense or on offensive line as far as their blocking goes is picking up blitzes. And Tennessee's done a great job in previous matchups too by blitzing them and creating pressure, and they don't know who to pick up and giving Watson some bad days. They beat Houston with Blaine Gabbert at quarterback last year thanks to a fake punt, but they sacked him like 7 times. And a lot of it was just unblocked rushers like Kenny Vaccaro coming free, Logan Ryan coming free, and those sorts of things. So I don't feel good. I think, well, I wouldn't say I don't feel good.
I couldn't tell by that wonderful speech you just gave of confidence.
Please keep
up the happiness.
I don't feel anything because I don't care because they beat the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, because you're still numb. You just want your dream over there. My God. You just want it to happen so bad, and this is just a part of the pattern that you want everything to follow until you get your Week 17 matchup. You're just a selfish human being. Just admit it, poser.
I've wanted it.
You say this while wearing a Buffalo Bills t-shirt.
For sure.
God.
So I have Houston winning. Never mind. I don't have Houston winning. Come on now. I have Tennessee winning 31-20.
Good God.
I have Tennessee winning 31.
Another blowout?
I have Tennessee winning 31-27. If Will Fuller is healthy. And what I think happens in this division, I think Houston loses this game. They lose to Tampa Bay the following week.
That's not going to happen.
But they beat the Titans week 17 to win the division because the Titans will lose to New Orleans. And also the Titans lost to the Jaguars. So Houston has a better AFC record right now. They're 3-1, Tennessee's 2-2. And that would be the point differential for that week 17 game. So I'm calling week 17 AFC South Championship. Houston beats Tennessee, wins the division. They're going to play Buffalo. They're going to play Buffalo. And it's going to make me so upset.
Matt, when it happened about that, so I think that Houston is going to lose this week as well, and that's only because I've been the believer in Ryan the Cannon Tannehill. So I'm going to pick Tennessee Titans. I have them 33. I have the Texans 27, regardless if Fuller plays or not. I just think that either way, it's going to be coming down to a shootout at the end, or they'll get some garbage time. But either way, that's what I think is going to happen. I disagree, though, with your overall view here. It's not going to... You saying that the Texans are going to lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just pisses me off.
It's in Tampa.
Are you even saying that because you believe it, or is it just because you love to wear a Florida t-shirt,
I don't have
being
a Florida
fat,
shirt.
And then going and watching Jameis?
Okay, I don't have a Florida shirt. I have a flower shirt. I should get Jameis shirt, though.
You should.
I've never been to Florida, but I want to go.
You know what? I need to look for a Jameis Florida, like Tommy Bahama t-shirt.
Oh.
You would flip out.
I would die.
You would die and go to heaven if I got you that. Overall, though, come on, man. That's so bad. So Houston's going to beat Tampa, but either way, Tennessee's going to lose the Saints. They'll win Houston right now, and then it comes down to week 17.
I mean, I still think it comes down to week 17 regardless.
Either way, it comes.
But I think
your scenario is weird. They're not going to lose all these games. They're not going to lose to Tampa.
They're so good. Their pass defense is bad.
Hate you.
Jameis is on fire right now. it was also so much fun, too, last week watching him play against Jacoby Brissett, where it's like Jacoby's the pay his taxes on time version of Jameis Winston. He's the anti-Jameis.
He's the guy who gives the crab legs.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. No, he fishes the crab legs and gives them to the poor. Needy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Jameis.
The supermarket is Jameis's ocean. So the next game we have here.
What? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
I'm going fishing today.
Yeah. And then the net is just his pants. So next thing we have here is Miami at the New York Giants. The Giants are 3.5-point favorites. And, you know, this time of year, it's December football. There's always, like, one or two teams that kind of falls apart in December and misses the postseason, should have made it. I'm looking at you, Minnesota, who gets to play Chicago week 17. They play Green Bay week 16. They play...
Green Bay's not good.
Yeah. I mean, they can't stop the run. I think Minnesota would be Green Bay, actually. Well, that's not true.
The NFC to me is so wide open.
But they're playing the Los Angeles Chargers this week. But again, like every year, there's, you know, one or two teams that kind of fall apart in December. So we could talk about an upset. But I want to talk about this really bad, stupid game just because I really like watching Miami. They have like 7 players that I enjoy to watch. I love Nick Needham. I love Julian Davenport. I like Devontae Parker. I like Jerome Baker. I like Eric Rowe. I like Xavier Howard. And I like Fitzpatrick as long as he's on my team, too. And so I really like, every year I kind of start enjoying a really bad team, and the Dolphins are that team for me this year. I've watched too many Dolphins games lately.
That's great. All right, so I'm going to go on the other side of the football here because Let me kind of go on. This game's going to be terrible. Not because of, it's two bad teams, blah, blah, blah. No. Miami's going to destroy New York.
Destruction. In New York.
That's why it's going to be terrible. The Giants are god-awful.
This is like the opposite of Jerry Seinfeld's parents.
What I witnessed against Philadelphia was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Whoever New York Giants coaches, he should be fired immediately. He is not a head coach.
You don't like him?
He doesn't know what he's doing at all. And it's this easy. That team quit in the second half.
They quit.
You couldn't convince me otherwise. Especially in overtime. Their defense looked at their watches and said, I need to go home.
Nah.
I needed this game as a Cowboys fan and in fantasy, so it just made me so angry. What worked in the first half for him was just throwing the ball to Slade, I believe. Who's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Throwing the ball to Slade, and guess what they didn't do in the second half? They threw the ball to him. Oh, you know what works? Give it to Saquon. Saquon's only averaging 4 yards a carry. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to give the ball to Saquon. It's not going to help. Eli, just keep throwing it 3 times down the field. You're doing great. What the hell was I watching?
Did you miss watching Eli?
No! The first half gave me hope. I will say. The throw, when it came to before the half ended, and he just threw it over the top of both corners. I loved it. It was hilarious because it just shows, dude, Philly is terrible. This division is so bad. I love it so freaking much. But New York is just depressing.
It's like the 2011 NFC West.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Maybe the 2010 NFC West.
I'm so upset. I needed the Giants to win, and the Giants truly just, they didn't give a crap about me. They didn't care about Taylor. You could have at least given me one thing. You could have given me one. You gave me nothing.
Yeah.
So now I'm a loser, dude. I'm a loser in all aspects. That was a terrible Sunday night.
So, like,
Monday
you,
night or whatever.
It was Monday night.
I don't even care anymore. I lose track of time.
So, like, do you like Eli?
No.
Like, do you have any fond memories of Eli?
No. Okay. The only impressive stat for Eli Manning for me, the most impressive thing about Eli, people may not think he's the brightest bulb, but that bulb is indestructible. Oh, my God, yeah. Has he been healthy? Like, I've never been more jealous of that. Having Tony Romo in my entire life. Like, that's insane where he, no matter how hard he got hit, everything. Oh, Eli sucks. Oh, look at all Eli's turnovers. The man took so many hits, and the man just, yeah,
It's that dad bod energy.
Yeah.
That destructible shield.
Easily the most impressive
thing. He's a dad bod paladin.
Because I don't think we'll really see that again. Like, he's indestructible, Matt. Think about it. When has he been hurt?
He was on pace for the longest record, and then he got benched.
And he got benched!
Week 16 for Geno Smith.
Yeah, thank God that worked.
I mean, like, he was bad. Like, he should have been benched, but...
No, you don't bench it for Geno.
It was... Well, yeah.
No,
Geno's
fine.
You
bench it for the rookie. See what the rookie can do. You don't bench it for Geno, a guy that we already know what he can do.
I like Geno just because I make jokes all the time. Just be like, I want to pick Geno Smith's nose so bad.
You owe me money, I'm going to punch you in the face if you don't give it to me?
No.
Is that a joke?
No, it's not a joke.
It's a Geno joke.
It's not a Geno joke.
It's a Geno joke.
That was really mean, though. That really kind of derailed his whole career.
Look at you. You're like upset.
So, like, the Giants, they can't cover. They can't rush the passer. Their offense line's fine, but Eli's slow in the pocket, you know. And they had too many turnovers before Eli to be good this year. Right now, they're 2-11. They haven't won a game since week 4 when they beat Washington. Week 4. You know what week it is? It's 15. It's been 10 weeks since they won a football game.
But they don't care to win a football game.
I think they're trying.
Matt, they had to score 1 point in the second half of the Philly game, and they couldn't do it.
You know they play Philly week 17, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're going to lose. No.
No, Washington does.
Washington does. Yeah. Washington's going to win that game, too.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, Philly's that bad, by the way. Philly's that awful.
So Fitzpatrick's also had a really fun year, too, because he's thrown 13 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and he's taken 33 sacks. I wish he had more downfield completions, but, you know, he's just a lunatic.
Before you go on as well, dude, all you had to do was double Zach Ertz. That's all you have to do against Philly. They have one guy. Maybe take away the one guy, he has nobody.
And Alshon's out for the year, too.
God, I'm sorry. Keep going.
Who's the number one wide receiver now? I guess Aguilar?
No, it'd be Zach Ertz. Well, Aguilar's out.
Yeah, no, I think Aguilar is still healthy.
No, he was out He was out last game. They were down to their backup quarterback that they were thinking about putting in as a receiver.
So I guess it's JJ Arcega Whiteside, their rookie who hasn't played all this year.
And their Whiteside got out last week with a hamstring.
Really?
Yeah. So it's literally Goddard and Ertz.
And Sproles.
Sproles is out.
Sproles is out.
Dude, they don't have anybody playing. They had their fourth string running back coming in. I'm trying to remember his name, but he did really solid.
Carson Wentz just threw the ball up to himself.
Carson Wentz is fine. I won't hold it against him. It's just, I hate New York so much for what they did. I hate them. You just had to do it.
Yeah, I'm not really excited for this whole Eli Manning return, you know, reunion tour. Because I'm so tired of all these old quarterbacks. I hate the fact that Roethlisberger is going to come back in next year. They have to watch Breeze in the postseason. Brady's still around. I'm so tired of all these guys.
I just hate listening to Breeze fans.
We got a new decade coming up. I'm tired. Let's get rid of all. It's been like the same guy since 2006. Get them out of here. Get Phillip out of here. Get them all out of here.
So what is Miami going to do, though? Are they going to get a quarterback?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think they'll pick up
Tua.
Somebody? Or do you think they'll draft? Tua. Because who you get? Oh, you can't draft Tua, can you?
Yeah, they're on the fourth overall pick. No,
do you want to, though?
I think so. He's supposed to make a full recovery.
Yeah, he's supposed. Yeah, that's not ever it sucks good. That's what I'm saying. It's not what you ever want to hear.
Yeah, it sucks.
He'll make a full recovery.
It sucks Burrow's going to Cincinnati, too. I love him so much, and he's going to go rot in tiger stripes. It's not going to be good. So I have Miami winning 23-16. The Giants are 3.5-point favorites, which is hilarious.
I have Miami 31. I have the Giants 16.
Love it. Love it. Also, shouts out to Julian Davenport if you're listening. I miss you. I love you.
What?
I hope
are
you're doing
listening
well out
right
there.
Now?
I'm talking to Julian Davenport. I'm not talking to you.
What?
I'm talking to Julian, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Why don't you get Julian to come and host this show with you then?
I want to.
God.
So we got the Los Angeles Rams playing at your Dallas Cowboys. The Rams beat the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday Night Football last
week.
Your Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know that. I don't know who they are.
Your Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know who you're talking
about. Jerry Jones' Dallas
That's
Cowboys.
That's not what it is. I'm not talking about this.
So the Rams looked really good last Sunday. I was impressed mainly because Robert Woods is back, and that completely changes their offense. They're starting to actually use a tight end, Tyler Higbee. And also Goff made two downfield throws. And if he even makes one, I'm like, oh, wow, Jared, you did it. You threw the ball farther than 15 yards to the air. You did something. Todd Gurley got working a little bit. That Bobby Evans guy had a really good game, too, at Garland. He was pushing guys around. Jadeveon Clowney had probably the worst game I've ever seen from him, that one. I think his head was elsewhere in that game. Just like not very destructive. Missed a lot of tackles in the backfield. The funny thing about watching Clowney play, too, is he can't stop bootlegs at all. Like, he's a car without brakes. And then also, Los Angeles' defense did a really great job stopping the deep passing game, too. And so I think the Rams are, like, if you play the season over again and they kind of like figure out their best version of their team a little bit sooner, their season play out, like, slightly differently. And this is a tough matchup for the Dallas Cowboys.
Why am I doing this right now? Why are you even doing this to me? I don't want to talk about this game. I said I didn't want to talk about this game. We could be talking about the Jets, and I'd be feeling a lot better.
Well, dude, the Jets lost tonight, so we can't talk about the Jets.
Yeah, I wish we would have talked about tonight's game against Baltimore.
We can talk about the Jaguars and the Raiders.
I wish people would have listened to this show tomorrow and listened to us talk about the Jets and Baltimore game after it ended. I think that's what people really want. I'd much rather have that than talk about this game. Either way, the Rams, to your points, they're all wrong. They're just going back to what they did last year, which you said they did, and would it open up the field because it's all Jared Goff can do. You just run Gurley because Gurley's incredible. And then it opens up the play action for Goff to be able to make those throws.
Goff made some like good shotgun, bunch wide receiver, empty backfield,
exactly
throws downfield.
Year, though.
No, these are different, though.
No.
These are vertical routes down the sideline.
You know what, Matt? Let's go to the tape footage. As you can see by this footage right
here. I can play the GIF.
I put the footage up for you so that you could see the side-by-side comparison right now. And guess what? It's the exact same thing from last
year. I can pull the streamable videos.
Hey, man, you could do whatever
you
want. We're
not doing GIF again.
All I know is I got this.
No, I got it right here.
No, I got this on the two double screen here.
I'm not saying he made like a dramatically, like a huge number of throws that were different. He made like three.
It's Gurley, though.
And that's important.
It's Gurley being able to run now. They're running.
Yeah, and it's good that Gurley's back and all that, of course, too. But I'm saying
you can't just slide that underneath the rug.
No, it goes back to that Garoppolo thing, too. Like, he didn't make a dramatic number of those throws, but he at least did it.
Stop bringing that up.
And he hasn't been able to do it all this year, really, all that well. Like, he needed to make some vertical throws. He finally did it. And it opens things up a little bit as well, too. I think having Robert Woods back, though, is what dramatically changes the offense from before. And if they had, Cooks, that'd be a little bit different, too.
They did have Cooks. By the way, they hate Cooks.
It's weird because Los Angeles kind of caught like a third win this year.
Maybe. I still don't believe in them because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Ha ha, losers.
Well, I think Minnesota could fall out.
I don't think
if Minnesota falls
out,
Los Angeles would take them over. Then.
You think that Kirk Cousins is going to pull like a Kirk Cousins? The problem is their schedule's easy, though.
Well, they play Detroit. They play Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they play Chicago. And then they play Green Bay. And they play Chicago.
Minnesota can easily win those games because I don't think Green Bay's good. I think that's my main point to it all.
I think they're going to lose the last two games.
The
only reason why against that is just because Green Bay struggles to stop the run. And the Vikings are a very good running team. And they can use Dalvin Cook and Madison and run the outside zone and run screen passes and neutralize Green Bay's pass rush and all that sort of thing.
All right, I'm about to get depressed. You want to get depressed with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Dallas Cowboys. Let's get into it. I hate them. I hate every single thing about them. They disgust me.
Do you want me a Texans fan?
No. You know what? At this point, I am much bigger. Like, I'm more on your team's side than I am with the Dallas Cowboys because I don't know what to do with them. They quit on me. They don't care about it. They run a perfect first drive. Man, that strategy works great. Man, they have the wonderful game plan. The moment that the team makes adjustments, they don't know what the hell to do. Kellen Moore is lost on the sidelines. He's too young. This is what Jerry Jones gets. All Jerry Jones keeps saying is, oh, you need to put the blame on me, blah, blah, blah. I'm so done with this. I'm just so done because all you're doing is relying on talent and you're saying that you make all the decisions. You know what? It's not working. And this team isn't playing. You can say whatever the hell you want, but for some reason, this team isn't motivated. They're not waking up saying, man, I really want to play tonight. Man, I want to play today.
And they don't like each other very much either.
No, and both sides are screaming at each other, which is what it showed last game, which I thought it was hilarious. Both sides are just screwing up where it's the offense does something great. The defense will screw it up the next play. The defense does something great, gets a turnover. The offense is going to screw it up the next play. I found it hilarious when Dak Prescott, when they got the ball after the Jalen Smith fumble recovery, that the moment they ran the ball, didn't get anything. Dak then threw an incomplete pass. Jalen threw the water cup, and they showed the footage of him on the sideline, him cussing. And I even yelled, you leave the offense out on the field. And they did, and they got the first, but that wasn't the point. The point was, you need to start busting your ass. Neither side is caring about the other. It's all about me, me, me. They're not playing well together. And I don't know what else to blame but coaching staff.
Well, even you have Jason Witten yelling on the sideline, everybody
and
too.
That doesn't help me at all because also, where was this 4 weeks ago, old man? What were you brought in the locker room to do? I thought it was to motivate. Apparently it was to sit on your ass. I'm really tired of also the Jason Garrett blame because at this point, it's all of the coaches. Kellen Moore doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And I need that to be acknowledged. I need Jerry to acknowledge that one more than anything.
And I didn't think with Moore, too. Like, Moore can create some really good plays. They do some interesting things in motion, especially. And, like, he creates guys open, but he doesn't consistently call a good game. Like, he has, like, flashes of it, but consistently it's like, wait. You know, like the Bills game is a great example. You got to run the ball against the Bills. You have to control the clock against them.
But man,
and then they go down by six, and they completely stop running the ball.
Yeah, the ultimate
and
first
game drive. And then you have the Minnesota game where it's all established to run, established to run, established to run. The Vikings have a really good run defense. They haven't been able to cover anybody at all. Dak Prescott had one of the five best quarterback games of that season, and they're still getting themselves into second and nine and third and 11 and putting themselves in these really difficult situations because they're trying to establish the run. And so, like, he doesn't understand what the opponent's good at and not good at. They explain the weaknesses available. He's just like, yeah, we're going to do this, and I like this, and this is going to be good, instead of actually taking advantage of the other team's weaknesses.
My quarterback, I'm going to get into each thing here with Dak. So my quarterback better at least be getting paid about $30 million a year. He doesn't deserve anything more. I don't care about what garbage time stats he's putting up. Amari Cooper, I find it the funniest thing. Man, you're hurt a lot in away games, but not at home. Funny how that's happening. Just going to say one thing here. It's why John Gruden got rid of him. Very fragile. Very sensitive. Doesn't like to get yelled at. Also doesn't play hard if he doesn't want to play hard. Very interesting on that one. Zeke, fat boy is fat boy. And at this point, whenever Zeke is looking good, they stop going to him. So it's everything. Rams are going to destroy the Cowboys this weekend. I'm saying destroyed because this is the other side of the coin. They don't care because they know that this game doesn't matter.
It's all about next week.
It doesn't matter, and they know that. That's what I hate. It's them being able to be motivated. Nothing is motivating this team unless it was Philly, and that was the last game that they actually tried. Just saying.
So you hear Cooper's road and home splits real fast?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's pretty funny.
No, it's interesting. I've been hearing it really is.
So he has caught 196 passes at home, 2,897 yards, 4.78 yards a catch, 22 touchdowns, a 68% catch percentage. On the road, that drops down to 152 catches, 2,065 yards, 3.59 yards a reception, 11 touchdowns, a catch rate of 54.3%. So he's like a third as good of a receiver at home compared to on the road.
How big of a drop is that, though?
Like a third.
How big of a drop for a receiver is that? That's pretty big.
Yeah, I think usually probably pretty even.
Like as big as a third, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty close to even. And it's like he played outside in Oakland, too. The only thing you think of is the weather, but he played in the NFC, in the AFC West.
Exactly.
The weather's not that bad.
Denver and everything. Yes, exactly. So you'd be able to experience something. I don't know what it is, but he pissed me. It's everything about everybody is pissing me off these days, and that's why I hate it, because I don't know who to point
at. Let me get an emo album title. Everything about everyone is pissing me off these days.
By the way, I've already made my album. You want to talk about top album of the year to start the show? That's my top album.
You know what mine is? These are these things, and these are memories.
I don't know what to do.
Pretty good, right?
I don't know what to do.
Wait a second.
No, I'm not going to acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it real fast. These are these things, and these are memories.
All right, you know what? Fine. It was okay.
You like it.
It was okay. Yeah, you like I'll it. Give you. All right. So as an outside fan, before we go on to the scores here, I do want, what am I missing?
What you're missing?
From an outside perspective, that's not a Cowboys and not a hater perspective either. What am I missing with this team? What is this team missing?
Offensively, I think you have everything you need.
That's where I'm at.
I think Dak is awesome. Like that game against Minnesota is one of the best games I've seen this year.
Whatever.
A quarterback.
I need more.
The biggest problem on defense, though, is y'all are slow linebacker when you have Sean Lee instead of Van Der Esch, and then Nick injury has hurt him a lot.
Van Der Esch is leading the team in missed tackles, and he's still leading the team even though he's missed games.
Yeah, that's fine.
Are you sure that's fine?
I mean, yeah, that's a problem. Missing tackle is a problem. At least he's fast. He can cover and that sort of thing. But the safety plays bad. And your cornerbacks are good, but they're not spectacular. And so you put your cornerbacks on an island. That's not a situation they can be in. Or they should be in consistently every single play, and your safeties don't affect any plays at all. Whenever they get attacked on the sideline and that sort of thing too. So I think the safety is the biggest problem in the defense. And the pass rush is pretty good. Like Beasley, I think Lawrence has had a good year, but it's
no,
not.
No, he hasn't.
He's created pressure.
5 sacks. He has not again, done.
Sacks
Robert
are,
Quinn's done more.
Sacks
than
are
him.
A bad indicator
pressure
of play.
Pressure-wise, Quinn has done more. So even
yeah.
The
I was about to say, Quinn's had a better year, which has been hilarious. And he's been
thank
awesome.
You. Is he being paid $20 million a year?
Well, that's part of it. It kind of bounced itself out in some ways. But he's been awesome this year. And I think they expected Lawrence to have 15 sacks. He didn't. He's 5, like you said. But he's created pressure, though. He's created hits. It's hard to get sacked sometimes. I think it's kind of a weird spot
I'm paying you $20 million a year. I don't want to hear it's hard to get sacked sometimes.
It's hard to get sacked sometimes.
No, unless you're getting covered like Aaron Donaldson. Absolutely
not. Aaron Donaldson's the most double-team player in the league.
That's my point.
You know who leads the league in tackles for loss?
You know
who leads the league in tackles for loss?
Who is it?
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, but he doesn't do much.
But yeah, I think this is kind of a bad matchup for Dallas just because of how the Los Angeles offense has looked. The Rams are also third in run defense DVOA. Donald's been great, especially on the interior. Like, I don't know, Xavier Sufio against Aaron Donald's not a very good matchup to have going into this game, too. And I think you're going to see Ramsey against Cooper. I think Cooper's going to – that's going to be a fun matchup. And I think Ramsey will get into Cooper's head a little bit, too. My last question for you before we do the scores, how do you think this thing plays out? So we have Dallas has Los Angeles, Philly, Washington. Philly has Washington, Dallas, Giants. How do you think this thing plays out? Both teams are 6-7.
You want my honest opinion?
Yeah, I want your honest opinion.
I think.
Let's see that heart. Let's see how it pumps.
Okay, so this is how much I hate my team. Dallas going to lose to the Rams. They're going to beat Philly. They're going to lose to Washington.
There's no way.
That is what I think.
And so Philly beats Washington, the Giants. Yes. And they have a one game better record.
Yes. They'd be tied.
You're saying Dallas would be 1-2, and Philly would go 2-1 down the stretch.
Yes. Wait.
Are you expecting them to beat Washington?
Oh, yeah,
the Giants?
Yeah. No. I am saying that. So I would say that Philly would itch it out because, yes, they are going to go 2-1 in the end, and then Dallas is going to go 1-2. But Dallas is going to beat Philly.
That'd be funny. It's kind of like the opposite of what
But it's exactly, Matt, it's what the setup is. This is why I'm saying, even though everybody, like Ivan just said kind of a couple minutes ago, you can't really blame Garrett, but this is also the other side of that coin. It's the exact same thing that happens every single year where if I am right with this prediction, it's going to be the Rams blowout loss, the Eagles blowout win, everyone's on the high, just got to take care of business against Washington. Washington ends up being too tough, we lose.
Well, at least y'all are playing Washington at home.
It doesn't matter to me.
This is at home.
It doesn't matter to me.
And Haskins has been like the worst quarterback in the league this year.
And I just want Dallas to be able to get a home playoff game. Because if they make the dance, who cares? But my dream scenario is for us to make the dance, for the Rams to come to Dallas, and for then the Dallas Cowboys to destroy them. Well, that is my dream scenario.
These are dreams.
That's me talking about a fan. I said I was being a fan. Yeah, I clarified.
Yeah, these are dreams.
I'm a fan poser.
And these are these things. Look, we're going to the Super Bowl, Taylor. As a fan, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Wait, what team? What team is going to the Super Bowl? I can't tell.
The Houston Texans.
Oh, you
look,
sure?
We beat the Patriots, man. That's all that matters. You know how happy I was.
You think your team is
going
to lose to Tennessee?
Yeah. And they're going to lose to Tampa.
Are they going to lose to Tennessee in week 17?
They're going to beat Tennessee in week 17. And so they're going to make the playoffs.
Here's my question to you on that then. Tennessee, Houston against New England, first round of the playoffs. Who has a better chance?
Well, no. Houston would play Pittsburgh or Buffalo in the first round probably.
You don't want that.
That's what would happen.
Oh, that's bad.
New England's going to get a first round bye. It's going to be Baltimore, New England first round byes.
Why is it? Because they're copying Cincinnati's plays.
Yeah. And New England's schedule is easy from here on out. They'll win their last three games. So I have Los Angeles 30, Dallas 20.
I have Los Angeles 35, Dallas 27.
Spicy.
Not really. It's the same thing. It's garbage time, man. They're going to try to make it a game at the end. It's not really going to work.
Kind of the Chicago game.
Yeah, and by the way, Bill Maher, kicker, gone. Thank God.
You know, Kai Forbath is really bad, though.
You know what? At this point,
it's, you see New England sign a YouTube trick kicker to their practice squad.
It's not a bad idea at this point.
I mean,
they're
desperate.
You have nothing to lose with
kickers. I understand
kickers.
Why they don't just like sign somebody who was in college last year. Who's just hanging out at their parents' house.
I don't understand how kickers aren't better these days.
Yeah, it's been a bad year for kickers. Somebody signed somebody. I can't remember who. The Colts signed a guy. He was just like a kicker in college who didn't get drafted. And he came in and was rocking some kicks last week. But that's a different story.
I love
story.
When people rock kicks.
Yeah. I love rocking brews and rocking kicks, you know. And kicking it, rocking brews.
Still going with this, huh?
Yeah, open up presents.
Well.
Giving kisses.
Yep. Christmas time.
Mistletoe wishes.
Yeah, let's just keep saying words. Reindeers.
Well, no, you have to say two words, though.
Snow.
Snow reindeers. Snowy reindeers.
Snowy deers.
There we go. We're riders now.
Yeah, rough riders.
So, listen to me quick. We got to wrap this thing up. We got one last game, though. Buffalo at Pittsburgh. Buffalo's 9-4. Pittsburgh's 8-5. The Steelers are at home. They're 2-point favorites. I'm so glad this like Buffalo's 9-4 and beat Dallas because this. I thought whenever I saw this game on the schedule weeks ago.
Oh my god!
I thought this game was gonna be. For the sixth seed. I'm so glad it played out where it's not like that. Where Buffalo can lose this game, still make the playoffs potentially. And this isn't a do-or-die thing because they beat Dallas. And I'm very grateful. You know, how good is our
guy? It's not hard to beat Dallas.
I'm not saying it's hard. I'm glad it happened.
You mentioned it twice in the same thing there.
I'm glad it happened.
You could have mentioned
it
once.
It was a great Thanksgiving. My family's like, what are you thinking
for? Oh, okay. You're still going. You're still going with this. Yeah, good. Let's keep bringing up
like,
Thanksgiving.
What are you thinking for? My stepfather was like, my family, my beautiful wife, that we're all here together. And then it comes to me, I'm like, I'm thankful that I'm about to watch Josh Allen with a full belly beat the Dallas Cowboys. And that's what we got. So regardless.
That's great, man.
This is going to be like a wild card one, a wild card two sort of matchup, seeing who plays Kansas City or who plays Tennessee or Houston probably. Buffalo, they've only turned the ball over 14 times this year. That's the seventh least in football. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they've forced 33 turnovers on defense, which is the first most. You want some more numbers? Some more turnover numbers
yeah,
here?
Yeah, give me some more. I love
so
numbers.
So they've had 26 offensive drives after a turnover, which is first, ahead of New England, who has 25. They've scored 17 times after a turnover, which is first, ahead of New England with 15. And this also includes block kicks as well. They've scored 83 points off of turnovers. They've scored 259 points this season. 32% of the points they've scored this year have been after turnovers. So like Pittsburgh's kind of simple in a way where it's like, yeah, just don't turn the ball over and make Doc Hodges have to beat you. Hodges has thrown 80 passes in three games. He's thrown 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's done things like throw short screen passes that Deontay Thompson takes forever. He had a really great kick return last week, too, against Arizona. This is like the ultimate, just like our defense is incredible. We're fourth in DVA, fourth against the pass, fourth against the run. It's a spectacular unit. Great for them. And then the run game, they love to run the ball, but they're awful at it. All their running backs are bad. You got James Conner. You got Snell. You got Edmonds. You got Samuels. They're all bad. It's all bad. But they have just been able to survive because their defense sets up their offense very well. And like, as long as Josh Allen doesn't throw 3 interceptions, which he could do, he could do it. As long as he doesn't, I like Buffalo in this game.
Yeah, so Josh Allen, he's a very inaccurate quarterback. So that's takes back, he usually looks to run
before he looks to throw.
So that's what usually happens with Josh Allen. Excuse me, I thought I was talking.
He's
right
inaccurate
now.
Only downfield.
I thought
downfield.
I let you just go on with yours. I'm giving
these
my,
are important numbers.
No,
but
I'm
this is slander.
Josh Allen opinion.
We're not
right now.
We're not slandering.
Okay.
He's inaccurate
right,
only
so
downfield, and he doesn't look to run.
He looks to run sometimes.
No, he doesn't. Right, there's pressure. So, he's great escaping the pressure, right. Getting outside the pocket. He doesn't look to run.
All right,
run
we'll though. Agree that he looks to run.
No, he does
okay,
not look to run.
So, in the end.
This is not the official stance of this publication.
The official stance of the podcast is that he looks to run.
The official stance of this publication is not that Josh Allen looks to run.
I'm trying to give my opinion here. All right. So, the man that looks to run.
He does
you know,
not look
I
to run.
I just did
he
not like
throw.
Last week when he was 17 for 39. And granted, it's against Baltimore Ravens. I just didn't like what I saw. The defense of Buffalo really, in my opinion, I'm disappointed because I felt like Buffalo, this was their chance to beat Lamar. Lamar looked like a normal quarterback just going out there and just trying to make something out of nothing. While Josh Allen just couldn't make something out of anything. Because you know why? He just looks to run. And it just doesn't work out in the end.
He doesn't look
to
run at
all. And then whenever
all.
It comes down to the other side, in this case of Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's playing it safe all the time. I don't like Pittsburgh because they're so boring.
They're aggressive on defense, though.
But they're so boring.
On offense, they are. They're aggressive
I
on defense.
I thought San Francisco, I thought Seattle would be the most boring team in the NFL. Somehow the Pittsburgh Steelers are winning, and they're winning, but it's so awful to watch them win. I don't know what I'm seeing. It's so many running backs on the screen. They're each just getting 40 yards apiece. I have a different quarterback each week. The only thing that is nice is the defense.
That Mason Rudolph isn't playing anymore either. I hate him so much.
Why does everybody hate Mason
he
Rudolph?
He sucks so much.
You know what, though? He's going to go
and
down.
He's so whiny.
He's going to go down in history as Miles, as the guy who ruined Miles Garrett's career.
No, Garrett's going to come back next year. It's going to be okay.
Maybe.
He tried to back next year.
He tried to kill a dude.
Maybe he should have, though.
Come on, man.
He should have put his head on the field goal post.
Hey, say whatever you want. Yeah, this is this. Anyway, he tried to kill a guy.
Well, you know, Buffalo did very well last week was that they ignored the fake against Baltimore. All Baltimore does is they fake it and they fake the dive and they don't want to hand that off. They want Jackson to keep it and they did a really great job ignoring it, flooding two guys on Jackson, making tackles in the backfield. Shaq Lawson had a really great game making those reads and you take one step inside and come back out against Jackson. And they did, I think they did probably the best job I've seen this year at stopping. I guess Pittsburgh did a good job too. But
is
Buffalo,
Juju
I think Buffalo
back,
did
the
best job stopping
game?
There. I don't know.
I thought they were maybe planning on him coming back for the last game, so he may be coming back this game, which if that's the case, that does open it up a little bit more for Pittsburgh, unless you don't think Hodges can take advantage of anything.
Well, also, White's really good, and he can cover Smith well.
Hodges is White?
No, Tre'Davious White of the Buffalo Bills is very good. So where did Hodges go to college at?
He had to go to South Dakota State.
He went to Samford. Do you know who the greatest player in Samford University history is on the football field?
Yeah, it has to be Mean Joe Green.
No, it's Courtland Finnegan.
I was close.
And he was the guy, of course, that Andre Johnson beat the hell out of.
Everybody knows who Courtland Finnegan is because everybody that watched that, you know what they said?
Good for Andre.
They said he deserved it. Even the NFL, when they watched the clip, what was he suspended for, a game?
I think one game.
One game.
It was like, good. The NFL goes,
okay, we get it. He deserved it, but we got to give you a game.
Yeah.
And Andre, okay, cool.
It's fair. And it was also like week 15, the game didn't matter at all. It's good the Texans at least play games that mattered, even if they are mired in getting the bare minimum of their talent they have available. Also, whenever we go to that Texans game, I got Andre Johnson jersey for you to wear when we go to Houston for the AFC South Championship.
I don't think I'm going to be wearing that. In fact, I think if we go to the AFC South Championship, I'm going to be wearing a Ryan the Cannon Tannehill ugly Christmas sweater.
That's fair.
I think that's what I need to be wearing because I think, dude, I've been on the Tannehill bandwagon all year.
That's fair.
Can you give me this?
That's fair.
Give me this one thing.
I'm not going to not give it to you.
All right, cool. I'll take that.
So
the other thing I was wrong about was Dallas and Chicago.
A lot of things.
I was right about Pittsburgh, though, kind
of. We picked Tomlin to be coach of the year.
We did.
We picked them to win the division and said they may be a wild card.
But we didn't pick. I wasn't even expecting them to do that after losing Roethlisberger, so it was impressive.
No, we didn't. I think maybe. I can't remember.
We picked Tomlin for coach, though.
Yeah. So I have Buffalo winning 17-16. I think Allen throws one interception.
What a game.
I think it's going to be sloppy. It's going to be stupid. And, like, the problem with the Bills is they can't stop the run all that well. They did it last week, though, but the Steelers can't run the football. Like, they're awful at running the ball. Their pass defense is tremendous. I think the Bills are the team that's going to force enough turnovers. And I think Allen's going to do, like, just enough. They're going to say, Josh, just don't turn the ball over. And, again, the problem last week was that he's a bad downfield thrower. He had guys open downfield. He just missed them. Short, he's good. He's thrown a lot of touch. He's come a long way this year. I'm very proud of our boy. But yeah, for this game, I have Buffalo 17. Pittsburgh
16.
There's
no our boy in this, Matt. I'm like, what is this? Is in the All right. So what I have is 23-17 Pittsburgh, and that's just because you know Josh Allen. He's going to be able to look to run in this case before he throws, which is what he usually does every game. So because he does that against Pittsburgh, it's not going to be able to work. The only thing is, if Juju comes back, I'm really confident. If Juju's not back, I'm not that confident.
I don't care.
Oh,
Buffalo's gonna win this game.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
They are.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, they are.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not. But what are you?
Yeah. Okay. If I'm right, you have to burn that shirt.
No. Well, if you're wrong,
then I'll buy you a Josh Allen ugly Christmas sweater.
No, I don't want a Josh Allen ugly Christmas sweater.
Why?
I want a Josh Allen jersey, dude. Oh, I want $120.
Dude, that's
Josh
going
Allen
all
jersey.
Out right now. I don't.
You can't burn the shirt.
All right. You know what? I'll make you a deal. So I will make that bet with you. But if you're wrong, then I get to do an entire hour show just to myself, and you have to post it.
We're not doing that.
Why not? You don't know what it's about. It could be about anything.
I don't trust you.
I promise you, it will be appropriate
for
families.
I don't trust you.
After dark.
We're not doing that. All right. So to recap, Tennessee at Houston, Houston at Tennessee. Times are 3-point favorites. I have Tennessee 31, Houston 20. Tennessee 31, Houston 27 with Will Fuller. You have Tennessee 33, Houston 27. Miami at New York, the Giants are 3.5-point favorites. I have Miami 23-16. You have Miami 31. It looks like 16. It doesn't matter.
It is. I have a blowout, man.
Yeah, it's 31-16.
Giants
it's something
suck.
Around that number. Dallas, or Los Angeles at Dallas. The Rams are 1.5-point favorites. I have Los Angeles 30-20. You have Los Angeles 35-27. In some late game heroics, Sunday Night Football, Chris Collinsworth gets to feast his eyes on the Lord himself. Buffalo going to Pittsburgh. The Steelers are 2-point favorites. I have Buffalo 17, Pittsburgh 16. You have Pittsburgh 23, Buffalo 17. And thanks for the free one there. I appreciate it.
What free one?
The free points.
What do you mean free points?
The free pick.
I'm confused.
Yeah, thank you.
What are you trying to say?
Buffalo's going to win that game.
Okay, by the way, you've been down like all season. Whenever you lose again. Wait, is that the only game that we pick different?
I think so.
Oh, my God. The entire week comes down
to
that.
Yeah, it comes down to that.
It comes down to that game. Yeah. I think I have you, though. Especially if Juju comes back, dude, I'm confident.
I'm confident Tre'Davious White locked him down.
Dude, the problem is Josh Allen looks to run before he throws.
He does not
look
to run.
That's the problem, man.
You're going to make me write 4,000 words about
this.
He
just looks to run. What do you want to do? Yeah, you're going to write 4,000 words on how he looks to run? Because that's what
I
would be reading.
No, how he does not.
Why? You're going to tell like a fiction story?
Yeah.
Yeah, fiction.
Yeah. Or it's like him holding me in his arms on the beach of Scandinavia. What?
Wait, what?
He looks to throw, not to run.
Aren't you bigger than him?
No, I think we're the same size, but he outweighs me by like 25 pounds.
Does that make you feel better?
Yeah.
Why would that make you feel like excited about? Like that was something I'm proud. You know what? Yeah.
Yeah, I love
but
it.
He's 25 pounds heavier than me.
Good for him. So that's our show for tonight. Enjoy your Christmas shopping. You know what? Give the gift of the pod to those that you love.
Well, wait, do we have listeners that haven't grabbed their family's phone right now and done five stars?
Yeah, are you
stars?
Sitting next
what
to somebody?
What are we doing right now? Grab phones and put 5 stars.
Hit the subscribe button. Send in an email. You put a little gift on it.
Where are my questions? Where are my comment boards?
We have any questions tonight.
God, where are my listeners?
No questions tonight. The show is too long, but no questions. Anyways, we'll be back on either Sunday or Monday night. Sorry about the Texans-Titans game. I think we're going to do it Sunday night. I think it's worth it getting the immediate reaction, getting the good stuff out, drain the content dry, you know. And then we'll be back on next Thursday.
That sounds gross.
When you drain the content dry.
I don't want to keep going anymore. I'm done with that. I don't want to.
And all right whenever you're off the boat next Thursday, we'll be
what?
Doing the cast. You got some Tense? Catching up to do.
What?
Yeah. We'll talk all about Josh Allen again next week. So in the meantime, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you so much. Feliz Navidad from the bottom of my heart. Ferrero Camos es Felicina. I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to my Red Radio. Thank you for being on Sunday Taylor.
Josh Allen looks to run before throws.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that at all. He doesn't.